As we come to God's word this morning, let us pray. Father God, we thank you that you are in heaven, that you see exactly what is in our hearts and in our minds. We thank you that you're not silent, but you would speak with your people today. And we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would guide us into all truth. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you please have a seat? This morning we're going to be speaking on our first Bible reading. So if you want to find one of the red pew Bibles at the end of the pews and turn towards the back of it, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and starting at verse 5. That's page 176 in the New Testament section of that Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Recently I heard of a Christian lady in London who was put up for an annual award by her company. On the evening of the presentation in her very flash offices, a video was shown of this lady at work, with snippets from friends and colleagues explaining just how kind, how conscientious, and how irreplaceable she really was. Everybody loved this lady. But included on this video was secret footage of this lady, filmed at her desk unbeknown to her. She was simply going about her business. Now, you might think that's really unfair, an invasion of privacy, but apparently it was very moving. Just to see how this woman treated all people, even the awkward ones, with courtesy and care. If ever you wanted to find an example of a Christian lady being a good witness to those around her, this is it. Wherever this godly woman went, she spread goodness and fairness. Now this morning, we're going to be thinking about smelling. Do you smell? What do you smell of? The Apostle Paul likened someone following Jesus as sharing the aroma, the fragrance of Christ in whatever situation or circumstance we find ourselves in. I wonder, do we really want to make a difference with the people that we are around, the situations we find ourselves in? Do we want to make a positive impact into those we come into contact with? If we take a stand and are willing to call ourselves Christians today, siding with the values and standards of God in the Bible, people will be watching and listening. I remember when I worked for a bank in London, if you told somebody you were a Christian, they would always keep you on your toes. A Christian wouldn't do that. A Christian wouldn't say that. And it's interesting, if you tell somebody, yes, I do have a faith, they will tell you whether you're following it or not. So are we authentic? Is there a match up between what we say and what we do? Do we talk the talk and walk the walk? Or can the charge of hypocrisy actually be leveled against us quite fairly? But praise the Lord, we are not left to go it alone. This is what verse 14 says of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads in every place the fragrance that comes from knowing him. Now, the image the Apostle Paul is talking about here is a Roman victory procession or parade. A Roman general who has come back from his foreign conquest and campaign, he comes back to a hero's welcome in the streets of Rome. His armor would be shining, his horses would be well groomed, his chariot would just have passed its MOT from the garage. Everything looked well. Around him would be all his proud officers and officials, soaking up the adulation, enjoying the parade. Behind him, you'd often see prisoners being brought in, who'd been taken captive, and then any treasure that had been seized. Now, Paul says that just like that, every Christian who's in Christ is part of God's victory parade. He always leads us. Isn't that encouraging? Even when we feel despondent, when we feel a dismal failure, we are always being led in this victory procession of God. I wonder if you've ever been to a victory parade, perhaps when the English rugby team won the Rugby World Cup in 2003, or in those distant days when the English cricket team won the Ashes. There's a team on an open-top bus holding aloud their trophies and cups. Thousands of fans line the roadsides. Well, as Christians today, I want to tell you that you are on that bus. You may not feel special. You may feel, I don't win any awards for being religious or being a Christian. But if you are in Christ, you are in that procession from God. Well, I wonder if we've ever thought that Christ could be actively working through our actions and words. Through us, many places can experience the fragrance of Christ. It's like one of those advertisements for a very nice perfume that you see around Christmas time. You see this sort of model floating around the streets of Paris, whatever, in the daylight. You see people finding the smell and sort of wandering around following this person around. Why? Because her fragrance is just following everywhere. What is the fragrance we leave in a room after we have been? What is the fragrance we leave behind? At that council meeting, at that school event, at our place of work, at that rather awkward family gathering with our friends down the pub, what sort of atmosphere, what sort of life do we leave behind us? Each one of us can make a positive difference, a different way of thinking and doing things to the unique situation, the unique circumstances we find ourselves in. Some people have a certain aroma about them. What is that aroma we have about us? But here's the interesting thing, verse 15. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one a fragrance from death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? Now, Jesus has always been controversial. Some will love him and will give up their lives and devote everything to him. Others will hate him, what he stands for, and will do all they can to destroy his influence and the church. The fragrance of life and the fragrance of death. I knew a Jewish lady once in South London who decided that Jesus was the Messiah, and she decided to join a Christian church. The next day, her family put her obituary in the local paper. To her family, she was now dead to them. I think of a young engineering student I recently met in Nepal. He knew that his Hindu family would disown him if he became a Christian, but he'd already counted the cost of discipleship. Having the security of a family home and financial help was not as important as following Jesus as Lord. Jesus has always divided opinion, not just 2,000 years ago, but even today around the world. Now, this may not be politically correct, it may not be popular, but the Bible is clear that actually we're spiritually dead without faith in Christ. Now, you all look very nice today. Teeth have been cleaned. Nice clothes being put on. You look very well respectable on the outside. But inside, according to the Bible, we are lost and we need to be found. Some of the wonderful symbolism we've just had at Jasmine's baptism tells us about that. We have a candle shining in the darkness. Why? Because Jesus is the light of the world. We have the water of baptism because we all need to be cleansed. We all need to be forgiven if we're honest. We're not as perfect as we want to be. That's why Christian baptism is a wonderful sign, a wonderful symbol of the new start that Christ offers to us. We may think we're very nice people, but we'll never be good enough to be right with God. That's precisely why Christian mission and sharing the good news of Christ is important. When we share our life with others, we're bringing life. We're not bringing a little bit of cheer, not just a little bit of happiness. We're not just giving people a new hobby or a lifestyle choice. According to the Bible, we're bringing words of life and of hope. Only this week we had another raft of dire predictions about the future of the Christian church in this country. A former Archbishop of Canterbury said this week, "We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. We are one generation away from extinction. If we do not invest in young people, there's going to be no one in the future." His message was echoed by the Archbishop of York. "Everything else is like rearranging furniture when the house is on fire. We spend too long arguing over words and phrases while the people of England are left floundering amid meaninglessness, anxiety and despair." I wonder if we took a straw poll in the Christian church today, how many people really believe that Jesus is good news? How many people really believe that we're lost and need to be found? There's a very damaging theology that says that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are sincere. You can believe in the Jolly Green Giant. You can believe in fairy stories. Whatever you want, you can be sincere. But that's not according to the Apostle Peter, who says this in Acts chapter 4. "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved. No one else, no other name. I wonder sometimes if we've lost that sense of urgency that Christianity is good news for our friends, our colleagues, our neighbours, for our whole nation. Now, this is sobering stuff. It's no wonder that Paul can say, who is sufficient for these things? And Paul insists that he spreads the message with integrity and honesty, not like those who are in it to make a quick buck. As Christians, according to verse 17, we are to speak as persons sent from God. Even more than that, standing in his presence. So this morning, if you want to tell your children about the good news of Christ, if you want to tell your grandchildren, you're doing so in God's presence. There's no question of underhand, deceitful practices. That's why it's so sickening to see televangelists who are so blatant in their greed and manipulation. But as Christians, we are to be people of honesty, integrity, sincerity. For one day, whether we like it or not, we will all have to kneel before God and give an account of ourselves, our thoughts, our words, and our actions. The revelations this week about the Reverend Paul Flowers, ex-chairman of the Co-op Bank and Methodist minister, should bring these words home to us, do they not? As persons sent from God and standing in his presence. Now, ministers who preach are especially under scrutiny, but every Christian is also in mind. We must pray for that church who have had him as a minister after such lurid revelations. Pray for that church that people would find some comfort and peace. Do we say one thing and do another? What fragrance, what aroma do we leave behind us in this world? We must pray for those in leadership and Christian leadership that they be people of integrity and truth, both in public and in private. I cannot believe the number of people who have actually said to me, well, it doesn't really matter what happens in your private life as long as you're okay in the public life. Would you really trust somebody in their private life if they're lying, cheating, stealing? Would you really trust them in public? The media loves nothing more than a juicy scandal of a wayward vicar or bishop. Do pray for those in Christian leadership. Now, the Apostle Paul, when he's writing this letter, he's a man of absolute integrity and honesty. He has suffered for what he has believed. He's gone through shipwrecks, beatings, riots, imprisonment, for he's absolutely convinced that what he says is true, and he's not in it for personal gain. It is to Paul that we owe Christianity's expansion into Europe and the fact that we're sitting here in Britain in a Christian church today, because people give up their lives to take the gospel to these shores. So two things we can learn from Paul this morning. Give thanks to God that we're in a victory procession. We are on that bus through what Christ has done. We may make mistakes, but thank God that his hold upon us is not to do with our good works or how strong our faith is, but it's dependent upon his love and his faithfulness. And give thanks to God that we can be the aroma of Christ in the different places we can find ourselves in. That like Marmite, Christ divides opinion. And therefore the aroma is death to those who are perishing and life to those being saved. Ultimately, we're not responsible for how people respond to Jesus Christ, but we are responsible for telling them the message in the first place. So this morning, may Christ find us faithful in proclaiming his name and living for his glory in the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.